Good morning, everybody. I could be wrong. What in the world does that mean? I'm not preaching, I'm done. It's a great homily. I could be wrong. Yes, Father, you are. Often. Gosh. Thank you, Jesus, for this lesson in humility today. So, I could be wrong. But I think one of the things we might believe is that life is easier with God. Jesus, take the wheel, right? With Jesus in the driver's seat, the ride is supposed to be smoother. But, what if it's not? What if only gets rougher? What if the lesson of life is take up your cross and follow me? So taking my cue from today's scripture readings, I would like to reflect on the relationship between God and suffering and humanity. Is there a link? Is there a connection? What's the connection? Is there a meaningful connection? So first, let me talk about what in my first point I'm calling a spirituality with struggles. A spirituality with struggles. Now, I feel very consoled that passages like today's first reading from Jeremiah did actually get recorded in the scriptures. It would be a loss if this did not exist in the scriptures. Here's what Prophet Jeremiah says, and he expresses his disillusionment with his spiritual life, with God, with faith, with his prophetic ministry in these words. He says, "You duped me, O Lord. You cheated me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed." Now, you know Jeremiah's call. He was called when he was very young. And he protested his call, but God prevailed over him. And he embraced his calling with great fervor. But soon, it became clear to Jeremiah that things were not going as he anticipated or even as God promised. Not only were people deaf to his call, but he began to face violent opposition. He expected people to respond positively to God's word. And when that did not happen, he expected God to do something about it. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. He felt like a total failure. And Jeremiah was completely disillusioned and crestfallen. Now, passages like these and others remind us that crisis of faith or spiritual disillusionment is real. So if you go through that, believe me, it's real. It tells us that especially when suffering comes our way, despair is a possibility. And it's okay. A grieving father whose 24-year-old son just passed away on the 14th of August, he wrote to me and he said, "If there is a God, I cannot understand this." A healthy 24-year-old son he lost, and he just cannot figure it out. Now, this father is not without faith. In fact, it is having faith that is making him question how his life situation and God go together. So if you have been angry with God, if you have felt let down by God, if you have felt cheated by God, and if you feel guilty for feeling how you feel, please know that you're not alone. Jeremiah's story teaches us that spiritual disillusionment is real and part of both our life and our faith. So now let me talk about Christianity and the difficult life situations we face. Besides spiritual disillusionment, we also encounter hardcore, real physical suffering. And one of the greatest obstacles to faith in God is suffering. Many people cannot reconcile the existence of God with the existence of human suffering. This problem has given rise to many an atheist or an agnostic. And the most disconcerting thing is that God doesn't even defend himself against such accusations. I mean, how many times, and I know this is being presumptuous, and I know in this I'm wrong, but I will often tell God, I'm done defending you. Because I have to constantly make sense of suffering for people and suffering in my own life. I'm trying to say to God, for goodness sake, do something about this. So how do we understand Christianity and hard times, suffering and the cross? So last Sunday, this is the second time that I'm here at St. Helen continuously, or one after the other. What's the word for that? There must be a God. Last Sunday, I reflected you on Matthew's composition of Peter's messianic confession. I wonder if you remember my homily from last week. In Matthew's version, after Peter confesses Jesus as Son of the Most High, Jesus affirmed Peter, remember, and said, on this rock I will build my church. And I said in my homily last Sunday that Matthew composes this event because, in this particular way, because he was addressing the needs of the Matthean community. However, the mood changes dramatically when Jesus began to tell his disciples about his impending suffering and death. It was okay thus far. Peter is fine. Peter is willing to acknowledge Jesus. But the moment Jesus begins to talk about suffering, the moment Jesus talks about death, Peter cannot handle it. He takes Jesus aside and he begins to rebuke Jesus, saying, Lord God, forbid, no such thing shall happen to you. Now, I believe that Peter's reaction at Jesus' revelation of a suffering Messiah, remember this term, suffering Messiah, is the same difficulty we have with reconciling faith and suffering. Peter cannot put the two together, right? Jesus, Son of the Most High, and suffering. These things doesn't click here. And this is the same problem we have with reconciling God and suffering. And Jesus, in response to Peter, says, get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. So Jesus is intent on taking on suffering. In fact, becoming a model on it, becoming the suffering Messiah. See, if Jesus had stopped there, it would be okay. But he doesn't. He continues, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So this is not about just Jesus taking up the cross. Now he's telling his disciples that you do the same. Now, historically, once again, you have to understand the historical context. Historically, Matthew was writing to a persecuted church. And in these words, he was trying to present Jesus as a model of facing suffering with faith. But there are deeper lessons, deeper than the historical context that Matthew is giving. The deeper lessons are Jesus embracing his suffering, facing it with undying faith in God, giving suffering meaning, all leading to the empty tomb, gives us a way to encounter our suffering. So then in my third point, I want to present what Christianity has to offer when it comes to the relationship between suffering and God and us. So the concept of the suffering Messiah is uniquely Christian. This is not, you don't find this in any other faith tradition. A God who comes to suffer and a God who saves and is the Messiah through suffering. This is uniquely Christian. It is an entirely new paradigm. Remember the word paradigm. It's an entirely new paradigm for understanding the relationship between God, humanity, and suffering. Until Christ came, people looked to religions to find a way out of suffering. That's the Jesus take the wheel, it's going to get better for me option. The Christian story is unique and different. Christianity is not going to give you 10 useful ways to escape suffering. Christianity does not provide useful hints to avoid suffering and treat suffering as an obstacle. No, rather, Christianity takes on the problem of suffering head on. This is important. And infuses suffering with meaning. This is what is unique to Christianity. This is the contribution of Christ. Yeah, there is suffering. It's part of life. But it's not meaningless. Jesus infuses suffering with meaning by his own suffering. It's a new paradigm. Now, especially in this church, this is very easy for me to kind of point this out to you. The focal point, one of the focal points of Christianity is her Messiah hanging helplessly on the cross. And we see this most starkly as we enter St. Helen Church, right? This is one of the focal points of our faith. But this is not just an empty cross. I'm saying that this cross Jesus infuses with meaning. The cross was the ultimate symbol of suffering, despair, disillusionment, defeat, and death. But notice this. Whereas Jesus told his disciples to take up the cross and follow me, he did not merely take up the cross. He embraced it. He got nailed to it. He died upon it. He infused the cross with a whole new meaning. Jesus transformed the cross into a means of human redemption. He made the cross a means of expressing fidelity to God and to one another and to humanity. Jesus made the cross the means of showing undying love and forgiveness. Through the cross, Jesus shows his solidarity with humanity. So the cross now is just not a symbol of shame, but Jesus gives the cross a new meaning by not just taking up the cross, embracing it, dying upon it, being nailed to it. So here are my just two or three small practical implications from today's scripture. So for me, the cross holds the key to understanding the relationship between God, humanity, and suffering. If you want to understand the relation between these three, for me, it's the cross. When Jesus says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, he was inviting his disciples to live life in the new paradigm. Instead of looking at suffering as an obstacle, Jesus was asking his disciples to pick it up in faith. So suffering is not an obstacle to God. Rather, we're invited to do what Jesus did. Pick up the cross. And Jesus, just as Jesus gave the cross a whole new meaning, he invites us to give our suffering a whole new meaning. So if you face spiritual disillusionment, or find the suffering in your life unbearable, I invite you to stand before the cross. The meaning the cross has for you, this is the most important thing that I'm going to say in this entire homily. When you stand before the cross, whatever meaning the cross has for you is the same meaning your suffering has for you. These two are not unconnected. So when you face spiritual disillusionment, when life becomes unbearable, come and stand before the cross and let the cross speak to you. And whatever the cross says to you is what your suffering is saying to you. The cross is the connection between God and suffering and humanity. And there's one last thing. Jesus did not have to take up his cross. Humanity could have been redeemed in other ways. But the cross was Christ's solidarity with humanity. Today too, when we come to the aid of people who endure suffering, not everybody in this church finds their life unbearable right now, but there are others who do. But when we help people and we come to the aid of those who are enduring suffering, we show Christ-like solidarity. In carrying each other's crosses in solidarity, something happens. We discover the Christ who is the answer to our suffering. This Eucharist is a result of Christ taking up his cross. This Eucharist is made possible because Jesus gave the cross a whole new meaning. As we come to receive Jesus in communion, let's pick up the cross. Let's embrace it. Because in the cross, we discover meaning and purpose, the meaning of life, the meaning of suffering, Jesus himself. People of God said, amen.